highly responsive. You know, you're seeing a lot of support from different people who are actually throwing, there's different organizations and individuals who are throwing watch parties, because at this point, people are understanding the historic nature of exactly what we're dealing with and what this means historically. Because historically, this may be the very last time we get to have a day in court where we can seek justice.
Yes. Right?
And I often have this expression, no justice equals no redemption. So we won't be the only sufferers. Right? That everybody will suffer for failing to do the right thing in this case, right? That's how white supremacy works. If you don't understand what it is and as a power base. But how this, the impact, the level of empathy and human awareness, we're in a different place now. And we're seeing it. We're seeing how it is, how it's affecting us. And then you always have that element. You know, Oklahoma's one of the reddest states in the U.S., you know. And so you have that alternative perception that somebody is taking something from you when you've taken everything. Right?
Right.
So we can contend with that element as well. You know, I guess you could say the consequence of cognitive dissonance. And so.
Yes, and.
Yeah, go ahead.
And yes, I just wanted everyone to realize that if you want to watch the proceedings today in the Oklahoma Supreme Court, you can go to the watch party at 1:30. It's going to be at 1:30 p.m. Central Time. So if you're on the good old East Coast, that is going to be at 2:30 your time. Here in Central Time is 1:30, and that means that in good old, Pacific Time is 11:30 a.m. So please, people, watch 1:30 p.m. Central Time. Please watch. If this is, sometimes we got to be witnesses to history, and this is history, and we got to be witnesses. Daryl and Chief, one of the things that really shocked me when we were in Tulsa was we heard, testimony from descendants of the massacre, and one thing one descendant said that really got us, and a whole lot of people in the audience acknowledged it, is that they weren't taught about the Tulsa massacre, even though this person was raised in Tulsa, never heard of it. In fact, it was almost forbidden to teach it. And here we are again in a new era of book banning and restrictions on teaching Black history. And look at the outcome. That person said that when they learned, that's when they got active. Chief, is that something that you also have seen, experienced, and are knowledgeable about?
Yes, that's a very good question. So I'll just share my own personal story. In 2001, I was working security detail for Johnny Cochran. And,
oh, wow.
And there were like 200 plus survivors alive at that time. And they held their first press conference at the Greenwood Culture Center. And I was behind stage, and I opened the curtain, looked out into the audience, and I see my grandfather, and I'm really elated by that because I hadn't seen him at any events, and I had been, teaching about this since 97. And so I was so moved, that he was present. I was elated. And I went out to the audience after the program, and I said, hey, I'm happy to see you here. And I see his neighbor, who at the time I did not yet know were also survivors. And I sat down. He said, have a seat. I asked him who he was there to support. He said, have a seat. I sat down. He said, I survived the Tulsa massacre. And I was devastated. I was angry. I was full of pride all at the same exact time. Like I was tripolar. I felt everything. And so it sent me on a different mission because now I needed to understand why nobody talked about it.
Right.
And
you know, Chief, it's real interesting you say that. I apologize for cutting you off. I know that your time is going to be short because you guys are going to have to get in the courtroom. I know that, Chief, that, you know, we Barbara and I and the Transformative Justice Coalition just came out of Atlanta, Georgia, where were there for an appeal on the hearing of the murderers of Ahmaud Arbery, you know, a young man who was gunned down for being black and jogging, having the audacity to jog and be black through a white neighborhood. One of the things that came out of the Ahmaud Arbery trial, however, was the family's insistence that there not be a plea, but that there would be a trial. And they wanted a trial because they wanted all the ugliness exposed. Do you believe it? And I make reference to it, Chief, as I call it an Emmett Till moment. Isn't this an Emmett Till moment for Tulsa to be able to finally come to the courtroom to disclose to the country, to the world, what happened with this Tulsa massacre? Isn't this? Do you believe this is one of those Emmett Till moments and a learning moment for this country?
I could not have said it better. Because this is the first time in 100 years that we've had a day in court where we actually are heard. You know, not where we're just filing, but, you know, we're this is a fight within itself because we're asking the Supreme Court to send it back to where it belongs and force justice, right? Make people's face, make Tulsa, Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma face the face of real terrorism.
Yes.
Right? Look into the face of real terrorism.
Amen. And it wasn't just the businesses they burned down, the land that they just stole from people. It wasn't, and the murders, but one of the things in your background is that you did that documentary about the mass graves. People don't realize that, you know, once they did this evil and set up their concentration camps and, you know, put black folks through hell for so long and so many people fled Tulsa afterwards, people don't know that they also hid all the bodies. They, you know, threw people into the bodies into the river. They created these mass graves. Tell people more about that before we, because you and I will have to run soon.
Yeah, so in 2022, I produced a documentary. I'm on the Mass Graves Oversight Committee. It was a huge. What happened in Tulsa was a giant cover-up, right? It was a scheme to make Tulsa look good before the President of the United States arrived in Tulsa for the 100-year anniversary and all the many people who flocked to Tulsa to learn more about what was happening here. And being on that team and actually carrying bodies myself out of the ground into laboratories, witnessed was the marginalization of women and children who were not put in the public report because the scope of the investigation was 17 black men. So the city wanted to cover up what we discovered the moment we found a body that had been shot up buried next to the baby. And nobody would confess or admit why they covered them back up. Then they held a ceremony, and you see descendants and members of the community crying and mourning outside the gate who are not even allowed inside the place where this mass grave that we've discovered was found. It's so repulsive on so many different levels. And that's why I said, you know, let me create a documentary. And I took 10 minutes from a 3-hour meeting, private meeting with the Oversight Committee, and created an entire documentary because if you didn't see it, you wouldn't believe it. It's so inhumane. And we're talking current date right now. And it made me realize why they're so afraid of being deposed. Because you have to tell a bunch of lies and protect a lot of people and cover up a lot of information to keep something like this a secret for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Napoleon Bonaparte said history is a set of lies agreed upon.
Mm.
Now the lies are being exposed.
My. Mm. Well, that is so powerful. And Daryl, you know, before Chief and I leave the show, because we got to, I got to travel over to the courthouse, got to be there in the next 30 minutes. What is there any question that you wanted to put to us? And we certainly want Chief to give his closing statement to the world, because the world is listening to our show today. And what is there a final question, Daryl, that you want to pose before we leave?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Chief, again, thank you for being with us, and thank you for all that you're doing to lift this up so that the world can see what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and that Tulsa massacre. You know, we have listeners that are listening in. Some are Gen Zs and younger listeners. Some are middle-aged, and some of those are older listeners. And they're listening to all of this that you've described, and they're asking the question, what can I do? What can I do? What response do you have for them, Chief and Barbara? What can listeners that are listening to this mass injustice that has occurred, what can they do to help bring this information to the forefront and bring and try to make what has been a horrendous situation less horrendous? Chief?
I really appreciate the question, and it's vital. It's very important because, useful past is extremely important. You know, regurgitating the past without making use of it is a failure to understand why people sacrificed to make sure you understood the past. So the first thing you have to do, or you should do, is understand why reparations is important and why you should let no one define what that looks like, right? If someone takes everything from you, you demand everything back. You don't allow people to fragment what you perceive as justice. Justice is a holistic thing. It's not a thing you break into pieces, right? It's very holistic. Study, research. I'm a history recovery specialist. I am not a historian. That means I research the lies. I research the truth because I think I know that we are abused intellectually. Right, we're marginalized intellectually. We're misguided intellectually on purpose by design. So you engage in people, in organizations, in ideas that promote the idea of reparations or restoration. The second thing I would ask that people do is understand how politics plays a role in everything. Right, because we, being the most disenfranchised people politically, need to understand why we're so disenfranchised and why there's a system that relies on us having a very narrow vision of what politics means. I'm not talking party politics. I'm talking about how everything is political and that the people, the decision makers, you know, from your local judges to your commissioners matter, you know, and we don't know that they matter until we find ourselves in a bad situation. Right now, imagine if We went to the court years ago and said that a mob didn't destroy Greenwood, the city of Tulsa did. You can hide behind a mob. You use language, and people, we're just now getting past the use of the word riot. So educate yourself about that. And I'll start by saying, you know, get my book, America's Black Wall Street. It's not a replica of anybody else's book. It's an exposure. It's exposing the real reason Greenwood had to be destroyed. If we understand why Greenwood was destroyed, I promise you, we will look at this thing completely different. Right? It's when the hunter tells our history that the lion is murdered. Right? So we have to let the lion tell the story now, and those who are listening, become the lions of your own story. Tell your own history. Right. And expect the fact that hyenas always show up after lions kill.
Right.
Don't be dismayed.
Right.
So,
amen.
And Barbara, I know that you have a word that you want to bring with regards to going to that courtroom today about this judge that made this decision on a weekend at home, issued an order where no one had the opportunity to weigh into it at all. Barbara, what's happening? Give us your closing words.